Their mother had finished her phone call and was looking much happier again as she came into the den where Barry and Nick were. She didn't seem to have noticed they'd been spatting.
"So Nana Susan reminded me you're going to need a fairy name," Dana said, making sure the screen of her phone was off before she put it back in her pocket. "I already knew the one I wanted when I turned 16, but that's just because I had decided on it when I was 7.
"How about my life is over?" Barry quipped, "because that's the first thing that comes to my mind every time I realize that I'm a male fairy godmother."
Dana looked very put out by that response.
"Or Frou-Frou Glittery Puff," Nick suggested with malicious glee.
At Barry's hate-filled stare, he added,
"Don't worry, we can combine it with yours. You can be, my life is Frou-Frou Glittery Puff. It's accurate and catchy."
"Why is Nick still here? Why am I still dressed this way?" Barry began complaining.
"Dressed implies you don't have the plumbing to match, which I'm guessing you do," Nick muttered.
Barry flushed with anger and humiliation, so close to hitting his stupid little brother.
"Little slug," he started to threaten.
"Nick," Daniel reproached, "there are some things that aren't okay to joke about, and Barry's girl parts are one of them."
"Mom!" Barry cried, covering his face. "These are the kinds of things I'm talking about! Life over!"
"Come on, both of you," she gave them each a stern look. "This is important. This is the name you're always going to be known by out on assignments, Baz, by all your fairy godchildren. It needs to be something that really just fits, and then it'll just stick. When a fairy name is chosen correctly, there's great power in it."
Barry was still made uncomfortable by so much of this conversation, but he figured it was pointless to argue about a topic she was so passionate about.
"So most fairies have a name that's similar to their usual name, but different enough to not be obvious. Like Dania Todayspark," she observed, making little hand pedestals for her two names as she said them. She thought for a moment. "What about Barry?" she asked happily.
"My name?" he asked skeptically.
"No, Barry, with an E, like the fruit."
"Well, fruit makes sense," Nick snarked, winning another frustrated look from Barry.
"Think about it," Dania said excitedly. "It matches your color scheme, and it's like your regular name, but girlier."
"In audio, it is my regular name, Mom," he pointed out in disbelief. "They're homophones."
"Homophones sounds oddly appropriate for the situation," Nick needled.
"Nick," Dania and Barry glared at him at the same time.
"Besides the fact that I don't want to be associated with a small fruit," Barry grumbled.
"Well, if you were fruit, berries are more red anyway," Nick noted. "You're more like grape-colored."
Dania's mouth opened.
"What about grape?"
"That's not even a name," Barry shook his head skeptically.
But there was an odd little click in the back of his mind.
"I don't know," Dania went on. "It's cute. And berry into grape sort of works, I think, without anyone knowing it's you.
What about..."
Barry tried to think of a name, any other name, but grape kept thrumming in his mind like it was supplying the only answer.
"Oh, crap! What did you do, moron?" he accused Nick.
Dania gasped with a smile.
"Did it work? Did it attach to you?"
"Yes," Barry groaned. "But if I think of something else fast, I can change it, right?"
"No, sir," she answered him, pleased.
"That's the one, then."
"Grape?" Nick repeated, laughing. "That's it then, huh?"
When his brother said grape, Barry's head came up like he was being talked about.
"Oh, God, feels like it's mine already! How did it do that? It's weird!"
"Really?"
Nick beamed with malevolent pleasure.
"Grape! Grape! Grape, 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 grape!" he taunted, as Barry was unable to think of it as any less his name than Barry or Baz.
Barry threw one of the couch pillows at his brother with decent aim.
"Nick," Dania censured mildly, "that's the way it's always been, Baz. Your fairy name is part of your identity, and it's part of how you communicate with magic. It defines your fairy self."
"But grape? Really?" Barry moaned.
But he knew as he said it, as much as he hated the title, she was right. He was already feeling unbiddenly protective of the part of himself that was suddenly named Grape. With a mournful sigh, he sank wearily to the couch, skirt poofing out around him. Having the cushions push against his nethers made him squirm, feeling like in the skirt there wasn't a lot to protect his strange lack of dangling. He would usually sit with his legs comfortably apart, but he pushed his knees close together to shield everything, feeling his legs and hips form a strange V-shape. Even that, though, didn't really stop him feeling like the slightest breeze had access to his thighs, the gauzy skirt basically an upside-down exposure bowl. He was still holding his wand, and he rolled it between his now petite fingers. He was tempted to try and break it, but with his luck, that would probably just get him stuck powered up forever.
"Grape, honey?"
It was Dania's voice this time, and his head once again came up automatically, which bothered him.
"Sorry," she apologized to him, smiling proudly. "I just wanted to try it out."
He sighed annoyedly.
"It's good to know I'm a Pavlovian experiment and that this amuses everyone." "Baz, I'm not making fun of you. I'm excited," Dania told him gently. "There's a big difference."
"I'm making fun of you," Nick proclaimed.
"Nikolai, stop," Dania finally told him sternly.
Nick seemed temporarily quelled.
All the same, your fairy name is the one you're going to be known by throughout the fae world and by all your fairy godchildren, Danya said. It's good for you to get used to it anyway.
That notion made Barry feel queasy.
I don't want to be known throughout the fae world. I mean, I don't want to have fairy godchildren either, but it doesn't sound as if I'm going to get a choice about that one.
She gave him a long look of consideration.
Sweetheart, come back in here. I want to show you something, she said gently, motioning with her head toward the kitchen,
although this time she actually waited for him to follow. Reluctantly, he stood back up, trying not to lose balance between his unfamiliar center of gravity and his impractical shoes, and went back with her to the scene of Magic's crime. Nick, of course, was right behind.
Between the two archways which led from the kitchen into either the foyer or the dining room hung Dania's small office desk. She didn't have a profession other than stay-at-home mom and fairy godmother, which wasn't a paid position, Barry thought bitterly, so she didn't need a big office area, but it was where she'd browse her laptop or pay bills. And above the desk, she had a hanging bookshelf with a light selection of cookbooks, notebooks, and papers. Dania went up on her tiptoes as she wasn't wearing her fairy heels at the moment and pulled down a red binder. She held it lovingly. Barry supposed he had noticed it there before, but had never really wondered at its contents. As she turned to show it to him, too, he saw it had written on the front, in her best calligraphy, Godchildren Memorabilia. Nick was looking over Barry's shoulder so he could see, too. This was disconcerting, both because Barry didn't want his exposed shoulders looked at, and because it made it clear that Nick was quite a bit taller than he'd become in this shape, which was usually not their dynamic. Barry did accidentally hit him in the face with a wing, though, which was a little amusing and satisfying despite the situation. See, I've saved things from all my fairy godchildren over the years, Dania was revealing the inside of the binder. It was stuffed with page protector pockets, each of which held a paper tied to those she fairy mothered. There was newspaper clippings about successes of people Barry didn't know, and a lot of letters and what looked like thank you notes. This is my sixth binder, she told them proudly. Next to you guys, these are some of my most prized relationships.
She paused adoringly on one particular page, which was a child's drawing. Beside what could be made out as a self-portrait of a little girl, there was a drawing of a person with very circularly drawn wings, and a dress colored in dark red crayon, obviously Dania's powered-up form. The little girl had drawn a giant lopsided heart between herself and Dania, and scrawled in handwriting that almost fell off the page she'd written, I love you.
Sara Lee is 12 now, Dania smiled fondly, but she drew this for me when she was 3.
Barry was mildly tempted to be jealous that their mother had this close of relationships with a whole bunch of kids who weren't her own children, but it was fleeting amongst his carousel of many other feelings.
Mom, I understand that this is special and fulfilling for you, he gave a wispy sigh. But don't you think it's different mothering people when you're actually a woman?
His voice grew ornery at the end. Dania finished her nostalgic flip through and closed the binder.
Barry, you don't have to be female to help people, she said, a bit of reproach to her voice as she put it back on the shelf.
Gee, seems like Magic missed the memo on that one, he gave her a surly glare.
Grape, she said with firmness, you're going to be a wonderful fairy godmother. You just have to get used to the idea.
Mom, he whined, do you have to keep calling me it?
Grape, 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 Nick whispered evilly under his breath. Barry looked balefully at him.
Keep it up and I will clock you, I swear.